And John, where you at? John, are you listening right now live? Are you in your car? Are you worried? Are you wondering? Are you thinking, hey, Vic is left solo? Is he surviving? Is he going to be okay? I'm fine, bro. I'm fine. No need to trip. If you're trying to call me, good luck, bro. I put my phone on do not disturb. I cannot be disturbed right now. I am just too busy with this show, and it's just too much fun. And I have a score update. Let's get that up. Let's see here. We got a 10-0 game. Looks like the Indianapolis Colts have marched, and guess who got some revenge on their old team? No one but Andre Johnson, former wide receiver of the Houston Texans. Oh, man, I should have called that one for last week because it just makes sense. You know, it's like week four. He's getting his – actually, week five, technically. Sorry. Excuse me. But, you know, it's time for him to start doing something. And who better but his old team to show, make a statement and get a touchdown as the Colts are winning 10-0 with Matt Hasselbeck at quarterback. I'm sure none of you have started either of them in fantasy. And I wouldn't blame you because they haven't been putting up numbers and Matt Hasselbeck is a backup. So you probably wouldn't have him. But looking at the waiver wire options, hopefully you guys have taken a look at Ronnie Hillman. He, as I said before, he's a good prospect, and he looks to split, if not take the lead on carries for Denver's offense. Jaguar wide receiver, Allen Hurns, I like him. I think he's become Blake Bortles' favorite target, and I really expect good things out of him. Todd Gurley, running back out of St. Louis, he is... You know what? He could be something special. He could be one of those next year top five running backs that's taken. And, hey, if he's available in any league, he's a must add because this guy can – I don't know. If you saw how he was running, he was not just running all over the place, but for the Rams, he was making smart decisions. You know, he could have been selfish and tried to get more yards or even tried to score on some of those runs, but he knew better. He was all about milking the clock. He even not took a knee, but slid down to not get out of bounds. So that was really impressive. Other news in the NFL, the Bills signed Indianapolis former running back Daniel Boom Heron to their roster as they are much depleted. So many injuries. I really think this is like the most crucial point where you want to take a look at guys coming off suspensions because this is week five and there's a bunch of players out there that can help you win your matchup this week if you're smart and you look out for them. And I'm going to name some of them. Some of the notable guys coming off their four-game suspensions. First, Greg Hardy. I know, this isn't a popular guy among the fans. Domestic violence is no joke. Do I think he should be back in the NFL playing? No. But he is, and he had served his suspension, and now he's back, and it's going to only help Dallas because, frankly, they've had so many injuries, they just need any spark to help them feel like they're going to be a competitive team. And going against the Patriots, I think it's going to be hard for anyone to bet on Dallas this week, but getting Greg Hardy is certainly going to help that defense. It might be hard for you guys in fantasy world to want to start Dallas's defense against the Patriots, considering the Patriots have never lost to the Cowboys in Bill Belichick's era, but hey, if you don't take a risk, you're not going to win those big bucks, so it might be worthy. Not only is Greg Hardy returning to that defense, but so is Rolando McClain, who's just finished his four-game suspension from the substance abuse policy. Also, Antonio Gates, who also violated the substance abuse policy, he's returning to the Chargers from his four-game suspension as the Chargers look to improve. And frankly, Philip Rivers isn't having trouble finding his guys, even though Gates hasn't been out there. But I think he's a must-add, especially because a lot of tight ends like Greg Olsen and several others are on bye weeks, or there's a bunch of just tight ends that are just inconsistent. So he's a big name, and even though he's long in the tooth, he's definitely worth adding. Same with Martavis Bryant, great prospect out of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Michael Vick's going to be throwing him the ball. Interesting matchup for the Steelers playing the Chargers on Monday night. I like the Steelers in that game, and I think Martavis is a must-start. So it might be crucial for you fantasy fantasy freaks out there to go ahead and add some of these guys because it can make the difference in your season. And I think it's just the wise move considering what the landscape is right now with all the injuries going on in the league. Some updates. Andrew Luck, as I said before, is dislocated shoulder. He's out. Dez Bryant, still out. Looks to return earlier than scheduled, but after Julio Jones said, hey, he should not rush it, foot injuries are no joke, I am leaning toward, hey, keep him on your bench if you have to, but if you really need that extra player to give you points now, you might want to consider a trade because at this point, it's crucial that you have depth in your lineup or you have a good insurance target with the Cowboys. And there's not a lot going out there with Tony Romo out as well. A lot of drama going on this past week in the NFL and a whole bunch to get to as we're going to keep going and in this show. Please give us a call if you want to talk sports, 415-550-0511. My name is Victor, and you're listening to MutinyRadio.fm. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I hope everything is going well. It was a beautiful day here in the Mission, starting to get overcast, but you know, I'm glad you guys are out here with us, joining us on the show, spending time with me. A lot of going on. Detroit Lions, batted ball controversy, the end of game heroics by Drew Brees to CJ Spiller, and the end of that Sunday night game. So there were some good, interesting primetime games where it came down to the last play. The games in themselves were okay. There was a lot of, they weren't as high scoring. This whole week wasn't very high scoring. I think it was one of those lower scoring fantasy games for fans, and defenses were showing up. So it was pretty interesting to see how that's been working out for everybody. So we're going to keep you posted and keep talking more fantasy as the day goes by. See what else we have here today. We're going to talk about the heartbreaker the Raiders had against Chicago. Not just that, but the 49ers struggles as they continue. Jed York, the owner of the Niners, couldn't even give tickets away. That asshole was on Twitter trying to give out free tickets to fans. And I'm glad the fans stood up and trolled his ass back and said, hey, man, I can't give my tickets away. What are you thinking? I think it's a ripoff out there in Santa Clara. And I think it's great that the fans are passionate about their team, but I would just stay home and watch because you're getting a better experience on your TV than you are over at that stadium. I mean, you're going to spend at least $300, and that's not even on the tickets themselves. Just to experience an event like this new Levi's Stadium, which has been a disaster so far as the Niners continue to struggle. They're 1-3. It's just a mess in that franchise right now. And it's kind of sad because they've been, you know, such a good team, you know, throughout. And you know their history, you know they're going to be back on top. But it's one of those things where they're cleaning house and they're starting fresh, and you can tell. So we'll see how everything works out there. Sunday Night Football is going to be the 49ers at the New York Giants. So big game, really important for the Niners to, you know, try and get a win. It's going to be difficult. In the East Coast, usually West Coast teams don't fare well when they travel to the East. Not just the time change, but just historically, the records show that it's not usually easy for them. So I do have the Giants by 6, but I don't think it's going to be easy for Eli. That defense didn't make it too easy for Aaron Rodgers. It was a respectable outcome, 17-3. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting matchup, but I still have the Giants over the Niners. Just have a lot more firepower on offense than the Niners do. And Colin Kaepernick's just, I don't know. I don't like his look right now. He doesn't look confident. He doesn't look like the same guy he was. He's athletic as ever, but he looks like he's lost something. And I just can't tell what it is. I think it's like his mojo or something, but he's just not the same guy. Even his facial hair is different now. It's like, it's just weird. Like, this guy was, you know, Kaepernicking. Everybody was wearing his jersey and posing like him. And now it's like people just, you know, don't want to associate themselves with his name. So it's just funny what can happen in 1 year and the difference time makes and all of that. But we'll keep seeing what's going on. Anyway, I want to throw it back, since it's Thursday night, to some... Guess who is nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? None other than Miss Janet Jackson. So I want to give her some support, because I want to pick the two out of the nominees that I think should go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Janet Jackson, N.W.A. Yeah, I know that they're more my era of music, but it's just I can relate to them. They had powerful messages, and they were fun, they were memorable, and I hope that they make it, because it'd be awesome to see an R&B pop star and also one of the you know, basically trailblazers of hip-hop groups that came into gangster rap. So that would be awesome. But here we go, as it's cutting in, some Rhythm Nation. Oh, let me get that up for you guys. Oh, yeah. Dad, if you're listening, that one's for you. I know you like Janet. Tell your mama,
me lo ha dicho el viento, eres para mí. sombra que pasa, la luz que me abraza, tus ojos mirándome.
All right, we're back to MutinyRadio.fm, and I've got a caller live now, ready to talk some Niner football. Roberto, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, muy bien, muy bien.
Oh, qué gusto escucharte, man. It's good to hear you, and I hope everything is going well for your work day.
Oh, everything's going smooth, man. Over here enjoying your show right here while we're working. We're almost done, and just felt the need to call in.
Oh, man, yeah, anytime. You're always welcome to our show. Man, I always enjoy talking sports with you, and I know you probably heard some of my Niner thoughts, and I'm sure you've got
everybody has an opinion. You know, I respect it. You know, I mean, obviously, the way the season's been going, it don't surprise me that everyone's picking the Giants to win this Sunday.
Yeah, but what do you think of the Niners' defense against Aaron Rodgers? Do you think that they're going to be able to stop Eli?
Well, I mean, I don't think they'll be able to stop him. I'm hoping that they're able to at least contain him.
And what about Kaepernick? Do you see his struggles continuing?
Hello?
Do you think, if they can't contain Eli, do you think Kaepernick can put enough numbers up to, you know, be able to win a game?
I mean, the defense is only going to be able to do so much, you know. It's a lot of if we're going to pull this victory out, Kaepernick has to be on his A game.
And like, when do you pull the plug on Kaepernick? When is it like, okay?
Well, I mean, you know, I was at the game. You know, people started chanting for Gabbard, and I'm sitting there in my seat saying, do you guys even know who Blaine Gabbert is? You know, I watched him in college. I watched him in Jacksonville. I mean, if you want to start Gabbert, you might as well just, you know, throw the towel in, you know?
Yeah, but it seems like they've been making a fire sale with all the players they've gotten rid of in the off season up till now. It seems like they're on a rebuild, except for what? A couple guys like Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis on the offense, and maybe a few guys on defense. What's left from the Niners that we knew?
Well, I mean, a lot of the pieces are gone this year, but from like the last 3 years that we've drafted, we pretty much drafted all the veterans replacements. And we're finally get to see some of the players that we drafted. And, I mean, they look solid, but, you know, they're not going to be superstars overnight, you know. Plus, like I was saying earlier, is that a lot of the players that did leave the team, their production was on a decline anyways. So, you know, we all know Patrick Willis missing a couple steps. Justin Smith wasn't causing to get double teamed as much. And Chris Borland was just too small for that position he was playing, you know, so.
And what about Aldon Smith? Do you think it was good that the Niners cut ties?
I've always liked Aldon. His mind wasn't right. I mean, he was the only piece of that defense that kind of, like, killed me when they got rid of him, because at the end of the day, I mean, it wasn't how he played. It was more of, you know, what he was doing off the field that caused the issues. But, I mean, getting rid of him, you pretty much got rid of the pass rush, and that's what we've been lacking this year, the pass rush. We can't get to the quarterback. We can't hurry him. I mean, they have all day in the pocket to pass, and that's what's been killing us. Our secondary is getting burned 5 yards every touchdown.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
I know. And, like, last year, whenever they played a division opponent, you just knew. You wouldn't even want to bet on that game because you knew it was going to come down to, like, the last play or the last drive, and it was going to be competitive as hell. Now it's
like most divisional games are competitive. I mean, they used to come down to the wire, you know, except for Seattle. I mean, somehow they've been blowing us out lately. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, we've been in every game, you know, but it's just that this year is a different feel. You know, you got different coordinators, you got a different head coach, you got some of the same players, you got a bunch of inexperienced players. I mean, only time could tell. I mean, I'm not throwing in the towel yet. I still think we got a chance in this division, but I mean, you know, Arizona's playing at a high level. Seattle's finally getting healthy. They're getting some of their pieces back. St. Louis is a team that one weekend they look like a Super Bowl caliber team. Mm-hmm. The next weekend they look like the Cleveland Browns, you know?
Yeah. I hear you, bro. And, like, I wonder, like, from your perspective, what's more enjoyable, going as a visiting fan at another venue or like hanging out with all your home crew and your fans and the diehard Niners, but watching it in this kind of like, I don't know, state, it feels like almost a, I don't know how to say it, but it feels like it's almost a stale environment, this new stadium. I still can't wrap my head around it.
As a diehard 49er fan, you know, I've been a season ticket holder for 10 years. My first year as a season ticket holder, we went 2-14. Our starting quarterback was Tim Rattay. Our featured running back was Kevin Barlow, you know. I've been through it, you know, 2-14, and I sat there, you know, my seat to the clock hit 0-0, and that wasn't a good year, you know. And we went through maybe 5-6 goodies until Harbaugh came around and, you know, and we started winning and all of a sudden the culture changed. But, I mean, for me, losing, I mean, I'm not, you know, for the new Niner fan that came in and jumped on the bandwagon when Harbaugh came, for me, losing isn't nothing new to me. You know, I've experienced it. You know, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. We all want our teams to succeed. But, I mean, and your other point was that I actually enjoy going on the road to watch my team. For the simple fact that I get to enjoy a vacation and watch my favorite team play.
Yeah, I've always liked being the visitor. You know, you feel like you're an underdog even though you're not.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just fun.
The Niner fans, we actually travel very well. So, don't feel like, you know, I've never felt left out. I felt like, yeah, I mean, it's not a home game, but I've always been surrounded by Niner fans. It's like they're everywhere, you know?
What about the Colts? Do you think that they should be concerned about Frank Gore and the fumbling issue he's been having so far?
You know, I mean, I've watched Frank ever since his rookie year. He's always been fumble prone. It don't surprise me, you know. It's just that you would think that now at this stage of his career, you think he'd have that fumbling issue behind him.
Do you attribute like the fumbling to his age, or you just think, oh no, that's Frank? He's just the same old Frank.
I think, you know, with Frank, you got to look at his vision. Like, he's always looking where to run to. And I think sometimes he gets so stuck in that frame of mind of which hole should I hit that he forgets that he has to get the ball first in order to run, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be a combination of that, or maybe it's just a bad snap and a bad handoff, you know?
What do you think about all these OGs, like, still putting up numbers? Not just Peyton Manning, but you got Matt Hasselbeck last week, Charles Woodson.
I didn't even know Matt Hasselbeck was in the league. I shit you. Oh, sorry. I kid you not.
No. Hey, we're at Mutiny Radio. Feel free. You don't have to censor yourself ever here on our station.
Yeah, man. Honestly, I didn't. The last time I heard his name is when the Seahawks lost the Super Bowl, maybe like 10 years ago. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, it's nice to see him. He's being productive. You know. I mean, he's marching the offense up and down. So.
Before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit more about the Raiders. I know, like, you're a big Niners fan, but I know you also keep an eye on the other side of the bay. I was wondering what you thought about Woodson's play of late, and also, like, did the Raiders give away the game against the Bears?
Well, you know, Woodson is an ageless wonder. I mean, I respect that. That guy is probably one of the best at what he does. And, I mean, yeah, he might have lost a step, but that guy is still productive. You know, it's high caliber, great work ethic. I mean, that guy leads by example, you know. And there's a reason why at 39 he's still out there intercepting the ball, you know.
It's so fun to see, like, that age is just a number. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I love these guys.
Himself. I mean, the guy, he plays smart. You know, he doesn't play reckless. That's why he's been out there. That's why he's been able to last so long. You know, he doesn't throw his body out there like a lot of the safeties do nowadays. You know, they try to go after the big hit and, try to get the crowd going crazy. Nah, this guy, he plays by example. You know, guys out there day in, day out, just trying to get that W every weekend, you know?
Who do you think is going to be the rookie of the year this season? Like, if you were, I know I'm putting you on the spot with that question, but I'm looking kind of at Amari Cooper. Like,
honestly, that guy's fun to watch.
The guy doesn't talk either.
I watched him a lot in college, and I knew that guy's going to be a stud, you know? And his quarterback could throw him the ball all day. And he's been catching everything. I mean, look at the numbers he's put up. It wouldn't surprise me if he did run away with that Rookie of the Year. I would vote for him if I had a vote,
Hell yeah. And what's in the water over there in Florida? And why can't Miami replicate some of that? Because it's like there's so much talent coming out of not just the U, but the Seminoles and whatnot, and some of the other Miami of Ohio. It's just a trip that, you know, to me, that the Dolphins are where they're at right now. Like,
I actually took the Dolphins as my surprise team in the AFC this year. I took the Colts and the Dolphins. And so far, I mean, both teams, they're not where they want to be right now, but something's up in Miami. I don't know if it's the coach. I don't know if it's the players. I mean, they got enough talent on that team, you know?
One more question for you. I want to know, like, what's up? Like, what do you think, like, in free agency, do you think that they made a huge mistake with Ndamukong Suh, or is it just a product of the coaching, or do you think it's more about these guys get their money and then kind of they don't try?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, money changes people. Oh, I want to send a quick shout out. Colts are up 13-3.
All right. And can you, hey, didn't Andre Johnson get that first TD?
I'm not paying attention to the game.
Well, good. I'm glad, bro. You're listening to the show. That's bigger.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, I'm glad you're joining us tonight, and I want you, before you go, to give me your Super Bowl pick. We have a tradition of any guest we get, we got to get their Super Bowl pick.
Well, so you're asking me as a Niner fan or as a fan of football?
I want the fan of football, but it's okay. You have to give me your pick from your heart.
Football, if you had to say, look, put your money on the line, honestly, I would go Green Bay and New England this year.
All right, I'm writing that down. Green Bay, New England. Yeah, you know what my pick was?
Mm-hmm.
I have both the horseshoe versus the Cowboys. So I got Colts, Cowboys in the Super Bowl. But you got to admit, this was
– Cowboys are getting healthy right now, you know, so it wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they got a winning record right now, so –
And you got to admit, I'm probably picking with my heart, but, you know, I just have a feeling, like, it's better when you get injured earlier in the season because you get to see...
You never want to get injured after week 10 or week 12, you know? It's better to get injured now, you know? And of course, you don't want those season-ending injuries, but I think, you know, once they get healthy, they could be a very dangerous team, you know? Atlanta looks like a very dangerous team, you know?
Who would have thought that after, 4 weeks, Devontae Freeman would be leading the league in touchdowns and Larry Fitzgerald would be leading the league in receiving touchdowns? Like,
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's a beast, man. That guy is something else. That guy is, man, I've always enjoyed watching him play.
Hey, you know what?
I get to see him twice a year, you know?
Yeah, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer for sure, no question about it.
Oh, hands down.
Like, such a leader.
I mean, yeah, he don't got the rings to prove it, but, I mean, he sure has the numbers, you know?
And nowadays,
you know how the Hall of Fame committee is. They like to see your hardware first, you know?
Oh, definitely. And I wanted to also.
The way they're playing, I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't, you know, they could run away with the division and potentially run away with the Lombardi. Who knows?
And finally, are you going to start a Mr. Pickles fantasy football league?
Well, I mean, like I said, I'd love to, but it's just that, if I get addicted to the fantasy, then that's all I'm gonna want to do. I'm just want to be home, laying in my bed, on my computer, on my phone, all day and night.
Oh,
but
no!
It could be a possibility down the road.
We can't have you in the doghouse. We need you there making sandwiches, bro. So.
Oh, for sure. And a quick shout out to my cousin Will, my coworker, right here. He's enjoying the podcast.
Oh, thank you guys for supporting us.
He says that you sound very professional over the radio.
Oh, thank you so much, bro. And you are welcome to call anytime, man. And I hope you can become a regular.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. Much props. And, man, I enjoyed this conversation. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
I want you to get a chance to meet my co-host, Jonathan. He just made it in. He had a car trouble, but he's a gamer. He always finds a way to get here.
Yo, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah.
He's a big Raider fan, and I'm sure he'll introduce himself to you in due time so we can all hang out. And hopefully you can come out here sometime, bro, and be part of the show live.
Most definitely, man. Appreciate everything, man.
No problem. You have a great night, all right?
I have a cold special for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother. Thank you.
All right, bro.
All right. That was Roberto. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, Roberto, that was awesome.
Yeah, you know, he really knows his stuff. I always can count on him for football talk, because not only does he keep the mind fresh with updates, but he gives me that perspective of, like, hey, what about these guys? Some of the guys you're not focusing on as much, and usually they end up being key in a lot of the games. And he also even gave us the Thursday night football update with the Colts winning 13-3.
13-3,
thank you for that. And a shout-out to Mr. Pickles out there. Again, best sandwiches in the Bay Area. You got to get down there. 20th and South Van Ness on the corner. You can't miss that Mr. Pickle mascot. Always keeping it fresh.
Big pickle time.
Hell yes. Well, we're going to keep it moving. We got more music for you guys, and it will be the full JV show when we come back. So here's some Tom Petty, keeping it Bay Area for you. You know, we love you guys, and we hope you all keep listening.
Decline.
Back here on MutinyRadio.fm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a full show again, JV show. We're intact again. It was tough.
I had some car problems. Well, actually, I was working on my 4Runner, and it wasn't starting, so I got into my Saturn and drove over here.
Hell yeah, brother, and you made it, man. And it wasn't like you had to drive over, like, miles and miles like Matt Barnes had to do to go and find Derek Fisher with his other older lady.
No.
So some drama.
Just over the bridge.
Yeah, in case you haven't heard, there's some developments from that. Matt Barnes, according to reports, was a little worried about a FaceTime he got from his son and the expression he saw on his son's face. So he went to go check on his kids, according to Matt Barnes. And when he drove over there, he found that Derek Fisher was with his wife, and they got into a fight. And the fight spilled over and went outside, and supposedly Derek Fisher was holding his own. Punches were thrown, and the only thing that could break it up was when the kids finally came in and were witnessing it, basically, and were yelling for them to stop. Really awful and sad that this is going on, but kind of funny in a way, because there's been a shitload of fights lately, whether it's the Cubs getting in a disagreement with a Gatorade water cooler, or or it's the NHL being back, and we've got drop the gloves, the puck, drop the hockey stick, and let's fight. So a bunch of fights going on last night. We'll see what goes on. NBA is back in gear.
What the fuck was Derek Fisher over there at Matt Barnes' house? I understand if they're friends, but that'd be kind of scandalous. That's just wow.
I mean, the former Lakers, I mean, they should be bros, right? They shouldn't be. What is bro code? You don't mess with the other guy's lady.
That's,
I don't know.
Ruthless. I didn't know that story. That's crazy. I want to find out more what actually happened.
Yes.
I mean, the kids stopped it. That's great, but that's
I'm sure a lot is going
to
come of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see what goes down with the Knicks this season as Derek Fisher's the head coach. But I don't know. I think it's going to probably be them keeping their space from here on out. I don't imagine them being amicable. But as we were talking about earlier, a lot going on. We did talk with Robert about the Dolphins' state of crisis. They fired Coach Philbin on Monday after the London trip. If I were him, I would have just stayed in London. I would have made a Euro trip of my own and just been like, hey, kids, let's go on an extended vacation. Dad doesn't need to go home. But he's no longer the coach of Miami, and I think the owner is going to be following Jed York and trying to give away tickets because, hey, let's face it, in big markets, it's hard to draw fans when your product is not cutting it. And it's been disappointing to say the least for the Dolphins. There's so much expectations, the free agency, the pickups they've made, and now it's like, wow, 1-3, and you lose to Jacksonville, and you lose certain teams that you really have no business losing to.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens out of that. A lot of stuff going on. We want to get to everything we can. But I want to congratulate John, man. He's first place in our fantasy football league.
Yeah.
A first for him.
Definitely a first. It's my second year in the league and second year doing this. And, wow, I've learned a lot. Definitely just watching a lot of the NFL fantasy, NFL Network and their fantasy talk and their booty chatter. It's really, I'm picking it up.
I like the fact that your team name is Black and Silver Lives Matter. We've been through a lot in Oakland, so that is apropos.
Yeah.
Also, I Just want to give a shout out to everybody in the Berkeley neighborhood. A lot of tough times right now. Everybody on Russell Street in South Berkeley. Hey, I play basketball with you guys every Saturday. Shout outs to you, Reggie, Graham, Ant, everybody out there. I know it's been a lot going on, but I can't wait to see y'all and play some basketball on Saturday at the Top Park. So it'll be good to get together and have a good time. Just wanted to send that shout out. Also, shout out to all the family in LA listening. I love you guys, and thank you for supporting our show. We're having a great time giving you guys all this sports, and hopefully it's helping you guys win in fantasy. And if not, just making you sound smarter at work, because we're good for that. We're good for your water cooler talk, and we want to be able to help in that aspect. Big Monday night game, as we were talking about, big Sunday night game coming up. It's going to be the 49ers at the Giants, and then on Monday night, you have the Steelers at the Chargers. So Michael Vick going to go see Philip Rivers. Oof. I actually like the Steelers in that game. But, you know, as I said earlier, a lot of players coming back from suspension. So we'll see what happens.
That's the big one coming in. I mean, Le'Veon Bell proved that he's on pace for many yards this season. He's going to do what, he's going to do what he always does. And especially with Roethlisberger out, he's going to have to do a lot. He's going to have to compensate. And then Michael Vick, like you said, is going to, let's see what he does.
I think he is a borderline sleeper. And I want to get into some of these flex picks and some of these sleepers that are around. I think most people by now know about Dante Moncrief. He's no longer a secret. He's definite flex position. Also, I gotta give a shout out for Arian Foster. I don't know how he's doing tonight, but probably a flex type player, now that he's healthy again. Marcus Mariota, Todd Gurley, Deion Lewis of the Patriots, Martavis Bryant of the Steelers, all worthy sleepers, especially because a lot of these guys are coming back out of four-game suspensions. You don't necessarily know if they're in the physical shape they should be, but it's worth the risk given that they're probably fresh and they're eager to get out there.
Yeah. Well, Deion Lewis, he's a power. He's definitely powerful, and he is kind of struggling. He's getting similar amount of carries as Joseph Randle, but it's he can really do it. He can go off when he goes off, and so that, like when you said a sleeper, he's a boom or bust almost sleeper, where it's just, whoa. Could he get he could rack up a lot of points in our PPR league, that's for sure.
What do you think, John? Would you start Amari Cooper against the Denver defense this Sunday?
Oh, no. I'm thinking about benching him. What's his name? Aqib Talib. He is
legit.
Yeah, he's going to shadow him, and he's just going to take over, and he's done that. He's shown that he can take out wide receivers, and
the best receiver on each team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's smart. You're looking at the matchups, you're deciphering, hey, who's he going to be lined up against? And I think Amari is a good boom or bust type pick for this week, because hey, they don't have a lot on him. They haven't played him before. Mm-hmm. It's his rookie season. They don't have a lot of film on him. They do know of him. He was the first overall pick for the Raiders, but it's going to be interesting, that matchup, and I'm excited for that game. I want to see how Peyton fares over at the Oakland Coliseum. It should be a lot of fun.
Well, you've seen that. You've seen them play the Raiders at the Oakland Coliseum. And
he's usually spot on.
Dominated. They did. But this season, different players. Derek Carr to Amari Cooper, AC/DC right there.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that, too. And they haven't, the Broncos haven't played them yet with that duo and with all the different changes they've made. So it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a division game.
Did you invent that, John?
What? No.
AC/DC?
I read that. I read that somewhere. I can't remember. But it was super catchy, and I love it. So.
Well, earlier, Adam Schefter reported that Andrew Luck would be sitting out this week. I'm really relieved because let's look at it this way. The two ends that he'd be facing is J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
And Jadeveon Clowney. And that guy is a monster of a giant. Mm-hmm. He looks like a freak. He's like Ed Too Tall Jones, you know, but an athletic version. I think that's what Phil
and
Sims was saying.
And he's fast. It's just scary.
Yeah, and, like, I'm just glad because, like, let's face it. If it's your throwing arm and you injured that shoulder, we knew what happened to Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. The Chargers lost faith in him, you know. They basically were like, nah, we're going with Philip Rivers. And they when they drafted him, it was like, you know, a shot in the back to Drew. And I'm just glad. Andrew Luck's our franchise quarterback. You cannot be putting him in jeopardy this early in the season.
Keep him
on
healthy.
A shoulder.
Exactly.
Mm-mm. The last thing we want is him having to get, like, Tommy John or freaking surgery because we let it get worse or we didn't give him enough time to heal up and get right. You know, that's why we have Matt Hasselbeck. You know, we got him as an insurance policy.
Look at RG3. They didn't. He just kept playing on his knee. He kept playing on his ankle. He would never let it stop and just kept going.
That's a great point, John, because what? He healed up. But then what happens is the mind game, the mental game change. And that's where I'm looking at Colin Kaepernick, too. He may not have gotten a severe injury, but he just looks rattled out there. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't trust his guys, or if not, he's not trusting what the coaches are telling him or what he's seeing out there.
He's scrambling.
Yeah, he's playing survival. I mean, it's impressive when he does get out there and run because, holy
he's
crap,
athletic.
Who would want
he
to tackle
do
him?
It, but it's just, come on, you got to stay in the pocket and be patient. But his O-line is not giving him that patience, and he doesn't have the trust in his team, like you said.
How many teams do you think will be undefeated after next week?
Oh, man.
Do you think that Atlanta, Carolina, Green Bay, Denver, New England, Cincinnati will all keep winning? I don't think so, but I like Denver over Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Cincinnati, man, Andy Dalton, dude, he's on fire.
He's
9
on
touchdowns,
fire.
1 interception. Hey, I hope he doesn't become
he's
like
the. He's gonna struggle this week.
You
he's
think
gonna
so?
Struggle. Yeah, I feel like
Seattle, right? They're
yeah,
playing Seattle.
They're playing Seattle. It's gonna be, you know, it's.
I think Seattle
Chandler,
should be able to beat them.
Yeah, but Chancellor is back, and the Legion of Boom is full. They almost full with Marshawn Lynch, kind of. But I mean, you think about that. They could dominate. I mean, they just take certain players out, and then it's just what can you do?
You're right, and it's kind of. I think I'm leaning towards Seattle because the way Cam played last game and. Like, that play was incredible. I mean, Calvin Johnson's the best player on that team, and it was the best against the best.
Yeah.
And he ran him down and poked it out and was like, I knew that was going to happen. I knew the ball was going to come out. Did he know his teammate would illegally bat it out? No, but I guess the ref didn't either because he didn't call anything.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just didn't even know the rules. It's just funny how Seattle gets bailed out. So I can't really bet against Seattle in that game. I kind of do see them having their way or at least making it close
well,
to the point where they get it.
Well, they're 2-2, so they're hungry. You know, I can see Pete Carroll is like, he's like getting very motivated and he's telling the team, you guys have got to get out of this slump. We want to be 3-2. We want to be 4-2. We don't want to be 4. I mean, you don't want to lose anymore. And Cincinnati 4-0, I mean, that's huge for them, but then what has happened in the past? They get to the playoffs and
lay an egg.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, like, if you look at the Seattle Seahawks, they started 0-2. They didn't have Cam Chancellor.
Yeah.
He was holding out.
Mm-hmm.
When they brought him back, they won 2 straight games.
Yeah.
And not only that, but he sealed the game on Monday night against the Lions.
Yeah.
And that just, to me, it proved his worth. Because to create a turnover when they're about to score, it's just so big. And it does wonders for a team. And like the Denver Broncos, Peyton, for once, isn't the focal point of that team. The defense is winning games. If you look at the way Von Miller is leading that team, man, they are not, they believe that they will finish games off.
Yeah.
They don't look at it like, oh, you know, Peyton threw another pick, that woe is us. No, they look at that as an opportunity to get back out there and give Peyton the ball back.
Yep.
It's very impressive to see how they've been, and it's just good, you know, it's just good to see like quality defense back in. I love the hitting. I know the rules are catered to high-powered offenses, so it's just refreshing to see that last week had so many low-scoring games and games that really came down to defensive stands. But let's keep things going. I got some hieroglyphics for you here on Mutiny Radio. Yeah. Love you guys.
Why don't you come into what I'm into? Slip into darkness and listen. I rhyme on you mental. Never I fought to halt the altar. My ulterior assault and inferior thoughts of feet. In the process, the party we will wobble, but it don't fall down. And it won't stall now. Beware, the boy's bad after seven when the lights go blink. My mic injects nitro into my bloodstream. I get to gushing, cold crushing lyrics so much. Reach out and touch things, let explore. From hits to flops that plummet, the synopsis is we rock this shit day and night. But it gets intense to extents of pleasure unmeasurable when I'm laying pipe and dough. Protected by the microphone when nightfall. I fall in my zone and it's on. After dark, it's ripping season. After dark, it might happen for the wrong reasons. After dark, and it don't cease until the break of dawn. I shoot the breeze. After dark, it's ripping season. After dark, it might happen for the wrong reasons. After dark, and it don't cease until the break of dawn. I shoot the breeze. I see the moon and get hectic like the ocean. Who that in the back causing commotion? Draped in black, killer on the attack. Around the time the hoes hit the scroll and the pros match. I don't know how to act, so give me a smack on the black hand side, telling me that I'm intact. It is the charisma that gets ya paid. But flaminess is when I got to pick ya. It never rains in the northwest. We profess to be the best. The rest can rest in peace, cause nighttime is the right time for the hieroglyphic icons to drop bomb. After dark, it's gripping season. After dark, it might happen for the wrong reasons. After dark, and it don't cease until the break of dawn. I shoot the breeze. After dark, it's gripping season. After dark, it might happen for the wrong reasons. After dark, and it don't cease until the break of dawn. I shoot the breeze.
That's how we rock the mic.
Hieroglyphics imperial.
Non-stop.
After slow, the sun ain't shining. Said love.
Mind power, the next level, nighttime.
After dark, you see the joints sparking, dogs barking, territory that I'm marking cannot be walked upon, or your worst fear will be embarked upon. I'm bringing Armageddon to your chest, and you know the rest is history like Rapunzel, golden tresses. I couldn't care less about a nigga in a vest. I was shooting for the knees, making them dance and plead for me to put them out their misery. My word wizardry is a dream you had about. You was coming clean when you woke up, your heart broke up at dawn, leaving you with the reality that the day goes on until after dark, it's gripping season. After dark, it might happen for the wrong reasons. After dark, and it don't cease until the break of dawn. I shoot the breeze. After dark, it's gripping season. After dark, it might happen for the wrong reasons. After dark, and it don't cease until the break of dawn. I shoot the breeze.
With a lot more NFL.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's take a little NFL break and go cut into some, you know, of the other kind of football.
Football.
Yeah, and there was a lot of that going on today, and there's a lot of qualifying action and a huge game coming up. But I'm more excited because, hey, you had a good day today. Not only are you first place in fantasy, but your nation.
Chile. They beat Brazil 2-0 today for the World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, and I have those all on our DVR, so we get to enjoy every goal. And really it was only like $5 just to add a few extra channels just to get the South American games.
Oh, that's worth it.
For us, it's a big deal. I know a lot of you are like, South America, CONMEBOL, who cares? No, we do, so you're going to have to deal with it, suckas.
Chupa.
Hey, but in all reality, it was a tough day for my team. Peru went down to Colombia 2-0. So we're going to have to figure things out again as Ricardo Gareca is trying to get a good squad going and to figure out who's going to be the starters for our next game, you know. So it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch to see what happens. But this is just the first qualifying action. So it's a long road to 2018. But it's a shorter road to 2017's Confederations Cup. And U.S. is one game away from getting to the Confederations Cup to represent the CONCACAF. And they can do that if they beat Mexico this Saturday night, 6:30 p.m. at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
And what do you think about Landon Donovan's comments about if the U.S. loses to Mexico this Saturday, that Jurgen Klinsmann should be fired as head coach?
Well, I was talking over with our good buddy at Mr. Pickles, and Roberto said, you know, Jurgen's done a great job, you know, and like,
definitely.
Come on, why would we get rid of a guy who's not only just a champion on the field, but also is trying to build a future for U.S. soccer, not just trying to get us to be a successful team in the short term, but wants us to be something that he can be a steward of the team and leave something for the future of soccer fans. And I don't blame him. He gets very upset with the way strikers are basically brought through to the U.S. team.
He doesn't like their discipline.
And that's a big deal, the physicality.
Well, I think Landon Donovan's just salty that he couldn't play in the last World Cup. You know, he was not on the team for probably good reasons. I mean, I'm not a head coach. I don't know what Jurgen's reasons were, but he didn't make the team. So I think that's saltiness on his part, and that's why he wants him out. But Jurgen has done a magnificent job. He's brought so many young, great talent to the team, and it's an international
team that's playing for the U.S. It's like they're all dual citizens, it feels like. You have Aaron Johansson, Icelandic striker, playing for an Icelandic league, and also is, you know, an American citizen. But not only that, you've got a whole bunch of German-Americans.
Danny Williams.
Team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to mention that, but the defensive line, I think, has also been the struggle. Finding guys that are not just physically capable to play the position, but that are also fit enough to do the work that's demanding of a U.S. defensive line.
And I think they should have players that go above and beyond. Like most international teams, they have, you know, backs that can play forward. They have players that can play every position on the field, and it's good because then they have different mentality and they can keep the ball going forward. And rather than just like, oh, let's stop this goal, let's think about what we're going to do with the ball after we stop the ball from going anywhere near the goal, and let's get a counter and let's get a goal ourselves, you know.
It's starting to finally play that European style, like of more of a focus on possession and formations and discipline. And it's good to see that the team has pride again. And the American Outlaws are awesome. Like, they really have created a fan base for the team to make us credible in the world, you know, landscape of soccer, which we haven't been for many and many a years. And John knows because he's been watching U.S. soccer grow and also basically, you know, get taken down a notch.
It's like it's plateaued. We're not even plateaued. There's no real... It's hard to market it, you know. They have great players and they have great